I guess we can pick Curtis's brain real quick.
Okay.
So we have our first client associate starting on Monday.
Okay. Good.
So any tips on onboarding her and setting the expectations and the tone?
Yeah. Yeah, we should talk about that. You know, one of the things that I used to do that, you know, it wasn't legal or binding, but I used to have everybody sign what I called a moral covenant, which were expectations you know, that they were required to do. And I'll give you a thumbnail sketch of the expectations, but you can define your own. But number one, I wanted them to show up. you know, show up, you know, with the proper dress code, whatever your dress code is. I wanted them to show up. The second was attitude. I wanted them to come in, you know, with their best attitude, because if you bring somebody in and they've got a bad attitude, what they end up doing is bringing everybody else down. And so, you know, one of the requirements is you got to come in and you got to come in with a positive attitude. You know, the third thing is they've got to pay attention to showing up for meetings, events, and training sessions. Okay. That's a requirement. In 2 years, you can't be skipping out. You know, when you call a meeting, somebody can't say, you know, I got to schedule around the meetings that you establish. Okay. I know it sounds a little bit regimented, but these are minimal expectations. So, you know, show up at the meetings that are scheduled. Let's see. The next thing would be, the attention to goals. You know, understand that, you're going to meet with them, you know, monthly, in terms of how they're doing, on their performance. Okay. And whether it be, client acquisition, whatever the metrics are that you want to measure them on. The fifth thing is training. I broke training down into several categories. One was some of the meetings were administrative in nature, and when it was administrative, I let them know. Two, there were the marketing-oriented meetings, which is, you know, we're trying to help you grow, put money in your pocket. So you needed to show up for those. And then the third were, things that, when I say administrative, I mean compliance and that sort of thing, because we got to teach these folks compliance so that they don't, you know, cause you any problems. The other meetings are things that help develop and promote their selling skills. You know, this industry has kind of transformed the names of advisors. We're calling people financial advisors, financial consultants. But bottom line, if you're not selling and closing the sell, and understanding the psychology of what motivates people, you're not going to succeed. So, you know, define what selling and closing really means in that aspect of training. So those are the five basic things that should be in your kind of moral covenant and expectations. And can you think of anything that maybe I've left out that aren't in the expectations list that I've just shared with you?
I think that's a good start.
Yeah. So, you know, write it up and have them sign it. Call it the moral covenant. You know, these are the expectations that we have when you come to work, you know, in our organization. You know, I knew a guy in Washington, D.C. His name was Phil Blevins. I mean, the guy was a former Marine. I think he took the place from 18 financial advisors to a little over 100. And, he was like Mr. Structure. You know, if he caught two guys going out to lunch with one another, he stopped them right there on the elevator and lectured them on, you know, what's he going to do for you? You know, is he going to give you some clients? I mean, he was that, tough. And if somebody, didn't show up with, the right attire, I mean, he was a white shirt kind of guy and our business has changed from that, but he'd flop a white shirt down on their desk and said, start wearing white shirts. You know, I mean,
so when you bring on a client service associate and they participate now in the revenue, right?
Yeah.
What kind of split arrangement did you use to work off of?
Well, you know, these were done. I gave the financial advisors the latitude to negotiate those splits.
Okay.
And what ended up happening is the really best client associates wanted to work with the folks that you know, paid the best. And in exchange for that, they put forth their best effort. And it kind of created a competitive environment that you didn't even have to create. Okay. And so, you know, so you take their base and some of them gave them, you know, like a 1% override on revenue. So, you know, the good ones really, they liked that and they were really willing to go, you know, the distance, you know, for, you know, for an FA. And then of course the rules changed in terms of working hours and that sort of thing. So you have to be very, very careful of what the hourly, you know, HR rules are in your state. Okay. But, they can come up with, proposals that give them, you know, monthly or quarterly, you know, bonuses. But don't wait till the end of the year and tell them that you did a good job or you didn't do a good job and therefore you're not going to receive any compensation. Have a folder on the CA. Remember we talk about folders. Have one on each of your people and see if they're meeting, helping you meet the expectations. Have your review. Let them know where they're deficient, let them know what they need to improve, and give them pats on the back on the things that are doing that do well. You all know I used to teach martial arts while I was I actually had a business of four martial arts schools down in San Diego. And the, one of the things that I used to help train the other instructors was this, two for one kind of a thing where if I had some kid that was a little sloppy at certain things, then it would be, tell them the things that the kid needed to improve, one thing, and then give them two positives. You know, I can see you're working hard. I can see you're focused. But you know, you're going to have to, you know, get your stretching capability up so you can lengthen your kick. Okay. So I always, so that somebody just doesn't always feel like the hammer's down and they're feeling energetic. They're feeling positive because you notice something of a positive nature about them. And that can carry forward in terms of how you work with your own, employees and sales force. Okay. Make sense?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Hello, Michael. How are you?
I am good. Good to see you.
Okay. Good. Good to see you. So, you know, you guys throw all the questions at me and I'm so far, thank goodness I have some answers for you. You know, all is good. What else, might be on your mind? Mario or anyone, you kind of started off, with a bang here. What else?
I think a big thing we wanted to discuss today, that we touched base on last time was, starting in January, Mario and myself are supposed to get moved up to what we call the senior vice president role.
Okay.
So an SVP. I think Mike would do a better job. If you want to kind of go over kind of how our organization is set up, and kind of, you know, maybe the issues we're foreseeing or how we bring it up to our bosses, kind of what our thoughts are. Because I know Mario and myself think most likely they're going to really lowball us or do something. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, kind of what your thoughts are on how we should approach it, and how the three of us can work collaboratively, you know, to really grow and make a lot of money, but also okay. within the organization.
So. I'll make one comment before Michael does that.
Sure.
The one important thing, you know, that executives should do but don't do is negotiate the expectations, requirements for the job, the compensation, the requirements, and the metrics. Negotiate those things. Don't let somebody just say, hey, boom, I've had it. Negotiate those things. Try to make them things that are realistic that you can accomplish. Okay? So don't give up or think that you're not in a little bit of a power seat. And the way you negotiate is simple.
Yeah, someone's computer is really loud. Sorry.
Okay. So the way that you negotiate is you say things like, I'm really excited about this role. I'm excited about, you know, building, you know, my organization and, you know, I really, really want to know, you know, your expectations, what your expectations of us are. So that I don't run counter to what you need to accomplish to the folks that, you know, are going to pay you, are going to compensate you. And so, I want this to be a true partnership.
So Mike is already the SVP. So right now he's, you know, our grandpa, as they call
him. Okay.
And now we're all going to be grandpas together, apparently. So we need to, maybe he can explain how it worked for him and the goals they threw on him, and then we could figure out how to coexist.
Yeah, I'll give you another quick little story, because I think the stories resonate. You'll remember this. I went into Washington, D.C., and the place was in disarray, low morale, people were leaving. And the manager was Donald T. Regan, the former White House chief of staff, his son-in-law. Okay. And Dave just sat behind the desk. He was never out in the boardroom. He didn't talk to his people. He didn't coach his people. He was a good administrator, but he delegated that to the admin manager. And so he really didn't know how to do those things. And so, you know, after about a month or so, I negotiated with him, look, you brought me in to be your number two guy, your sales manager. And, if you let me just run sales and get this place staffed up, I'll get you far exceeds. Okay. And that's what I did. He let me do it. He turned me loose. And in exchange for that, he got paid extremely well. I mean, the guy invited me over for Thanksgiving dinner with Donald T. Regan. So, and I remember his wife, who was, the daughter of Donald T. Regan. She called me up one day and she says, Curtis, could you please tell the boys to stop cold calling the White House? And I said, oh, these smart guys are going out calling the White House. So I went out and I gave them pats on the back for their diligence. But I told them, but please, you can't be calling the White House. Okay. So that's a little story that I think you would enjoy hearing. Now, let's go back to you, Michael. You tell me what you had in mind.
So, I guess, can you hear me or is there background, Mario?
Oh, I can hear you very well.
It's better now.
Perfect. It's your fault, Mario, because you're next door to me, like 8 feet away, causing all this, problems with the internet. Anyways, Curtis, the one thing about Equitable that's always been, I guess, that I've liked is it's not been set up as an agency system. So corporately, commission rates, override rates, fees, charges, everything is set by the company and paid by the company.
Okay.
None of it is paid out of the agencies. The agencies don't determine any of those things.
Okay.
So then you have your EVPs, your executive vice presidents that run the branch.
Okay.
So our organization, we have two gentlemen that are EVPs that oversee the running of the branch.
Okay.
You then have district managers, which have their team of advisors. Okay. Right? So you have advisors, district managers, EVPs. That's always run based on a, you know, corporate system, no GA type feel at all.
Okay.
Then a number of years ago, not that long ago, they came up with this quasi concept of a job that's not it's an official position, but it's weird. It's an SVP.
Okay.
The SVP position is a carved out position that's between the district manager and the EVP.
Okay.
In which the EVP controls 100% of your, I guess, that piece of your pay as well as your goals. And any dollars that that you get paid come out of their pocket.
Okay.
So let's use an example. Let's say the two EVPs, their overrides on the agency are $1 million apiece.
Okay.
They make $1 million each. They determine how much of that $1 million they're willing, or $2 million they're willing to carve out for you to hit your goals.
Okay. So
then they give me three goals. They say you got a hiring goal. You have to develop your advisors at a minimum production level. You have a certain number, and then you have a certain production goal.
Right.
For a better word, we'll use.
Okay.
You hit 100% of the goal, you get 100% of that. So let's say they give you $100,000 for the year. You hit 100% of the goal, you get $100,000. You only hit 80% of the goal, you only get $80,000.
Okay.
You do 150% of the goal is the cap.
Okay.
So if you do 200% of the goal, you're only getting paid $150,000. That's the cap for that year.
Okay. So there's no motivation to do better than 150% for that.
There's one little thing that it's not enough to make a difference. There's 10% of that 100 grand or whatever that number is discretionary.
Okay.
So if you blew your goals out of the water by 200% and the rest of the agency that you were not overseeing was flat or down or didn't grow as much as you, that extra 10% could expand to 20, you know, could be instead of 10 grand, might be 15, 20, 25,000 based on performance in relation to the rest of the agency.
Okay.
The challenge with the position is that you don't have any control, again, over those dollars or goals.
Okay.
You can negotiate all you want, but they're in a position of strength where they determine. Now that is not all your compensation, right? You still have your advisor compensation.
Right.
You still have your district manager compensation over your team, a specific directly to report to you. So that never went away, and that's still determined by the company.
Okay.
The only part is that SVP compensation, of which you oversee different managers.
Okay.
What they control.
So there's three buckets of comp: SVP comp, advisor comp, and team comp.
Yep. So like, let's say I produce, you know, 200,000 GDC in my own production this year.
Okay.
Get paid that. My team of 15 to 20 advisors does, $1 million in, or 2 million in GDC, and I get a 10% payout on that, let's just say.
Okay.
A couple hundred grand there. And then the third part is now that SVP comp.
Okay.
Now, the challenge, so again, what is not going to happen in this South Florida organization that has happened in some of the other organizations across the country is as Mario and Lenny got promoted now, generally my position should be moved up to a general partner with Lewis and Hugo, and everybody would, the system would work the way it's supposed to.
Okay.
They're not doing that because the gentlemen that run the organization are in the late 50s to 60. They've got a 5-year runway probably.
Right.
And if they do that, they feel like they're going to give up too much compensation that they don't have enough years to get back. So it's a scarcity mentality.
Right.
Growth, you know, mentality. So they're
less likely to invest in long-term growth.
You nailed it. They've stopped doing that. And they're not gonna, because I had the dialogue with them about that. And their thought is, and the way their position is, hey, Mike, you know, we're not going to be here forever. In 4, 5, 6 years when we're gone, you know, hey, you'll be here to run the organization, you know, with everybody there. That's not my vision. So, I'm not sure how it pans out down the road, but there's not enough,
there's not enough wiggle room.
I've told Mario and Lenny, this is the conversation we've had, is, and I have no control of what they're going to get, they're going to offer them either. So I have, I joke with, they call you a partner when you become an SVP.
Right.
This is the only time I've ever used this word. But Donald Trump had the word rhino, Republican name only.
Uh-huh.
So mine is officially a sino.
Oh,
okay. And name only.
Okay.
Right? Because you are getting this little compensation, but you're not a true partner that they.
Right.
Is
in the truest sense. You're not a true partner in the full sense of being an full equity partner.
You got it. And some of the other organizations across the country, some are worse, right? Yeah. Some are, but there's a lot of organizations that are run differently where you are, and they can move up to allow you to have that growth. And then, so for example, this year as a whole, we will grow based on the goals they gave me that they picked. We'll be over the 150%. We'll be right up there at 150% of almost all the goals, right?
Okay.
Through the numbers.
Right.
Right. But that doesn't mean my comp next year goes up anything. This year I'll get paid that, but next year they could go back to the same targeted comp they want to give me.
So everything goes back to zero?
It could. That's...
I get it.
They'll probably give you a higher goal with the same money.
Yeah, especially if you're killing the metrics.
Yeah, I mean, so there is, and this is in full disclosure to Lenny Marr, there's nothing, you know, that we, and I haven't even, I've said it on this call. At some point, my idea was to, and again, this is a little frustrating with Inequitable for me, I've done 18 years. I moved down here 16 years ago. I built the organization from scratch with Lenny, Mario, Brandt, all their great job they did. But as a team, it's one of the largest in the country in Equitable.
Okay.
As I try to, you know, my goal was at some point was to become a partner in the Boston organization, you know, and find a spot. And there's been a lot of pushback in that.
Right. And
that's been a frustration to me because that was my idea was at some point this year or next year, we had thought for family reasons to go back to Boston.
Right.
But it can't be to cut my legs and my arms and head off and have no income going up there as a brand new advisor to start over again, right?
Right. It
was, so we had the opportunity last year to go to Connecticut and then COVID shut it down.
Right.
So that team that you, that team that, that was on that call that one day, that young lady overseas, she's part of that organization that I had gotten chosen to do that, to move there with. Right.
Okay.
And then COVID shut it down and they merged it with the Jersey office.
Okay.
So the only opportunity to move up north seems like within the Boston organization, but that gentleman doesn't see value enough. I think he thinks he's got it all under control.
Okay.
But what he doesn't want to, you know, doesn't want to see. So anyways, we've got a lot of strong egos, as you've seen in the industry.
Yeah.
Yourself in, Williams in South Florida.
Okay. And
their organization with, so just to give you a little background, they had about 20, in your world, 28 million GDC. Was in 2005.
Okay.
As of 2021, they're going to finish with 28 million GDC.
Okay.
Our organization was zero GDC in 2005.
Okay.
Here we'll finish with 6 million GDC.
Okay.
So they've actually, as an organization, other than our team that's here on this call and everybody, their production's gone down over the last 16 years. What's held them afloat is our growth.
Okay. So you are kind of what I would call, you know, you're an anchor team that is, making a direct contribution, a greater direct contribution than the other folks that are out there. Okay.
Correct.
But you may not have, but you may not have the largest growth. So
no.
Let's say somebody's got an agency that's doing 15 million in billings and you're doing 6. Well, they kind of like that. So, you know, you can move up a couple of ways. One is you can grow it. Okay. Or you can take over something that's got a greater, you know, gross, a grossing business.
Yeah. I mean that, so that's, so what we're up against next year is, and this is the challenge, right? We're in a good, we have a niche market that we've built.
Right.
I always joke about our situation that, you know, between Lenny, Mario, Brandt and I, and, you know, have done a decent job in growing it to the point where we have eliminated our competitors almost in our marketplace. And
sure.
We built our own, I call it prison for a better word, because we are doing very well. We're, you know, we're, again, we're blessed. We're living comfortably. We, you know, we have awesome opportunities. So that's there, but there's not a lot of other opportunities. We're in a, you know, we're also in a decent place. Just how do we leverage it when they have all the control?
Okay. So the challenge too, Curtis, is normally you promote people and you say, hey, we need help in this office in Fort Lauderdale. We need help in this office. You guys work together to help grow the overall organization, where they say, hey, you're only making money on what you've already grown. And that's what you stick to and keep growing.
Okay.
So that's where there's not really the opportunity to take over other GDC and continue to grow it. It's, we got to build the 6 and they're only looking at the 6 and that's it.
Okay. So let's talk about that for a moment.
And I'm going to jump on my phone.
Okay.
I don't know about you, but my office is like, I feel like I went back to Boston without moving. got to be 30 degrees in here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to wear a suit from now on. No polo shirts anymore on this in the office, but I'm going to just put my phone and get thought out. So go ahead.
Okay. So here's kind of what I'm thinking. The things that you have going for you versus some of the other markets, you know, like I worked in St. Petersburg, Florida, and my rent and expenses were very low in comparison to people in New York Metro or San Francisco. So I could do less business and make more money. Is that the case with you all? I mean, plus there's no state income tax in Florida. So, you know, for me to get promoted, I needed to go to something much more substantial, in order for me to, feel comfortable taking on another assignment.
Yeah. So I think there is opportunities there. I've been my own. I've put limitations on growth in a way because I have not wanted to move. Very few places in the country I would move. Having three children, you know, we're very comfortable. We've done well. I didn't want to uproot my kids unless they were going back home, right? To family.
Right.
So okay. That's why, so there's been opportunities in Kansas City. There's been opportunities in Denver and a few other places that I could have put my hand in there, or Lenny, you know, and again, Lenny has opportunities maybe to move if he wanted to. So they're there. I don't think Mario, his wife and family won't allow him to move. Right. So a couple of us have limitations in where we would get up and go. So that does hurt us in the growth process as well.
Okay. So my thinking is, how much gross is the largest agency in Florida doing?
The agency district, Mike, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, are you saying, I think Curtis is talking about like, agencies in Florida as in Central Florida, Jacksonville, right?
Right.
We're not talking about there. We are the larger of the three.
Okay. You're the larger of the three. Okay. So
the other one, so if we do 28 million in GDC, the Orlando branch probably does 24.
Okay.
Jacksonville's closer to like 7, probably 8.
Okay, 7 to 8. Okay, so here's my question. What if you guys were to just really, really work together, get this thing humming, and grow to 40? You know, and the reason I say that is, I was in an area in New Jersey, which I loved. And I built a very lovely home out there. Never thought I'd ever move. Okay. And I decided that I was going to, become number one in New Jersey. And I mean, that meant that I had to, you know, I had to beat out Morristown and, you know, Short Hills and all of those places. And so I went on a major hiring, training, and recruiting mission. Next thing you know, in 3 years, we go from 50 to 100 million. Okay. So the question I have for you all, working together, leveraging your strengths, can you take this 28 million to 40 million? Can you take it to 50 million? You know, we always think the grass might be greener somewhere else. But, you know, can we build, you know, just this crackerjack organization that is one of the mega powerhouses in the country. You know, oftentimes we keep thinking that the grass might be greener somewhere else, but you know, you guys are now embedded. You're the, like the mayor of the town. You know, you're cultivating relationships. Can you take this thing to 40 million? What's your 3-year goal? What's your 2-year goal?
The answer is yes, we can grow it. What our challenge is the growth doesn't. So when you grew your organization, it directly affected your compensation. Almost, so as that,
yeah.
Right. As it grew, you knew what your compensation was going to be. As big as, if we grow outside of our own districts, for a better word. So let's say Lenny and Mario have, you know, 25 guys in their, in ladies in their district.
Right.
And I have 15. If our individual direct hiring grows, that does affect our compensation directly. But
right.
If it's like all of our other management teams that we are in charge of overseeing grow, we only get an increase in comp if the people above us, the two EVPs, decide they want to give up a piece of that. Now, 4, 5, 6 years down the road, yeah, there's definitely an opportunity where if we do a good job that we could step into that role when they're done, but they control it until then. So you saw an immediate payout for your efforts. This would only be, they would control what piece of that growth we get to participate in.
So you have to really negotiate with those guys.
You do.
Say, if I do X, are you willing to pay me Y?
Whatever. Correct.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, yep. I get it.
And the problem with what they've done over the years so far is it's vague, right? You know,
right. Like, they want it vague because there's the greed factor.
There it is.
I want to protect my turf.
Yeah. We don't know what we're going to have, you know, next year. So it's tough for us to tell you, you know, so they, you know, they make it very difficult in that way. And they know also, you know, given they've been in the position forever, they know they control it all and that, you know, you could just walk away and they would think that they could run the thing themselves sometimes.
Yeah.
Not to say they don't appreciate the growth that we've given or that they know we've done a great job, but their wallet isn't, open enough.
I see. Okay. Well, you know, look.
Hopefully I said, and maybe Mario and Lenny have a different, I don't know if they wanted to add anything or they thought that was.
Okay. Because it seems like what they said to us is we're going to get promoted in January and they're not going to even tell us our comp till probably February or March.
Okay.
So it's like, hey, you got the position. You're like, okay, great. I took it, but I don't know how much I'm getting paid. And then they're going to say, hey, here's, you know, 20 grand.
Sometimes organizations throw out a title as a retention strategy.
Yep.
Okay. There's not money necessarily involved, but people feel good. I'm a senior vice president. And that works for a couple of years, maybe. And then you start thinking, to heck with the title, just pay me. So
that is exactly it, Curtis. You know, we had a guy many years ago in the Fort Lauderdale office that wanted the SVP title badly.
Yeah.
That's all they wanted. And it was unusual, right? And they were giving him the advisors and giving him the pay. But he actually wanted the title.
Yeah.
And eventually he left because they wouldn't give him the title. Now, when it came time for mine, I told him exactly what you said. I said, you can call me bottle washer. I don't care what you call me, you know, just custodian, janitor, just if you pay me if I'm the highest paid janitor in the United States, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, I said, just pay me. It's, couldn't care less about titles. It's just, that's the only way in our organization you have to have that title in order to get that extra comp now.
Right. And what we did is we went to, a managing director, role. So nobody could make the distinction. you know, between an SVP and a managing director.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. I get it. So based on everything that you've told me, how can I help you guys?
So how do we ask for the comp when it's just going to be thrown to us?
So, you know, I would negotiate it. So, you know, they don't necessarily have to go with it, but, look, we want to stabilize your comp where it is. Okay. But if I get a 15% growth rate, 20% growth rate, 25% growth rate, give me a scale and tell me what you're willing to pay me so that I go in every day highly motivated to make sure that, you know, that the integrity of your compensation and growth is there so that we're really true partners. Well, I kind of like the sound of that. So that means if I get some firecrackers in there and they, you know, give me some explosive growth in the business, I'm going to share the spoils of success. That's all we're asking for. That we kind of create a scale in which I can depend on if I hit certain numbers for you. Negotiate that out. May work, may not.
And when they say, like what's always has happened with us is I say, hey, what's the metric to get X? And then they make up a number and then it changes, or they say, oh, there is no number. You know, exponential growth is what they tell us.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I would say is, in retort to that, you want me motivated to reach a certain goal so that I can impact your pay positively. So if I kind of know what I'm working toward, I have that motivation. It's gonna impact you positively. It's gonna impact me positively. So see if you can baseline that. Give it some thought and kind of come back to me. Now, what I would do is I would put out a hypothetical and let him work with that.
Because what it seems like is, right, if we help them hit 150% of their goal, they'll make like $500,000. Where if we get 150% of our goal, maybe we make 10 or 20.
Yeah. So what you got to do is see what they're willing to negotiate. You know, I got a team in here that they're go-getters. I know that, you know, my baseline is going to be covered by these guys. And if I can get a little more and they can get a little more, everybody's happy, and I want them to be motivated. Management 101. I want people motivated. So, you know, look, you know, obviously organizations are different. I worked for one where 50%, well, you know what my base was? The highest base that I ever had, you know, as a regional director with 3,000 employees doing $1 billion in revenue. $175,000. So my bonus was 10 times that.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I didn't know how I was going to get paid. Theoretically, I had metrics, but I knew if I really did a super job that I knew the range of what my pay might look like. And some of it was going to be subjective.
I think the problem with us is that they're always like exponential growth. We ask for metrics. They don't give it. And what I think they're willing to give doesn't really move our needle one way or the other. So we're not like really excited for it. And we don't really see a clear direction of, hey, we're going to retire in 5 years. You know, that always can get pushed down another 5 years.
Oh, they put that carrot out there. Look, yeah. The role of corporate America is to make everybody feel that they have a shot at being president one day. Okay. And you're hoping that, when the time comes that you got the numbers, you've got everything going so you can get that role. It's not always, timing is like everything.
Yep.
So you can't necessarily change your firm's belief in terms of compensation infrastructure, but you might be able to convince those guys that, I want to walk in every day highly motivated. So see if they can commit. Bill, I'm asking you to see if you can commit. Let's move beyond vague generalities and, give me some specific targets that if I hit them, then everybody's happy. You're happy. I'm happy. Everybody's going gusto. Can you help me here? Be frank with the conversation. You might change things. You might not.
Thanks, Curtis.
Okay. All right.
All
right. So look, you all right now are in the throes of finishing a year on a high note. And then you got to get another one cranked up. And there's no off season. So you need to have your business plan, ready to go, come January, because at the end of January, 1/12 of the year is gone. So, I sent you a template on the business plan. If you'd like to spend between now and, the next 30, 40 days putting together your business plan and having me look at it and making it relative to your business, I'm happy to do that for you. And then we'll have a call on it. Just another set of eyes, as your accountability partner. I'm happy to do that. Okay.
That sounds good to me.
All right. So we're coming up on the hour. Is there anything finally that you want to talk about? Or is that enough?
No, that's great.
We're good.
I've got to jump off though. Thanks so much, Curtis, for all that. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks for sharing.
You got it. I
appreciate it.
You got it. Bye.
But I think that works for us and gives us some food for thought and,
okay.
To reflect. I guess the thing that I struggle with is, as we grow in the firm, it's almost like, do we still go down the leadership path or is it almost, hey, this advisor over here makes X more than me. I could do exactly what he's doing, build a little team around me and not have to worry about all this because, that's sometimes the hard part, I think, for Mario and myself.
Let me tell you, it's really a tough decision. I mean, look, I know a guy, that's built a team around him. He's doing 10 million and his payout is like 50%. And of course, some of that's shared among all team members. And, I'm thinking, that's his number perpetually.
Yep.
I mean, these guys are managing huge amounts of assets and, it's fun. It depends on the ego gratification. Now, what happened to me personally is I kept getting a promotion. You know, it's like every 3 or 4 years, they were giving me another challenging assignment. But having said that, I would say that the people with all of the power making the real money are the advisors. You know, an advisor could storm out of your office, you know, if he's like the biggest producer, and you're not going to fire him.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you're in a leadership role and you do that, hey, we got to get somebody else.
Yep.
So yeah, that is a lot to think about. I you know, it's a hard decision.
Yeah, we go back and forth on because, you know, we've been in the role for a while now. And, you know, at least lately, I feel like it's been repetitive, you know, bring new people into the business. And I'm sitting there, you know, I'm bringing Curtis into the business at a home appointment, you know, trying to get someone to do $100 a month life case, doing the application with them. And I'm like, oh my God, this is just taking forever. And it's not really challenging. It's not really fun. Anymore. So it's like, but I know
that PCG team that you referred me to, you know, those guys seem to have it pretty well wired.
Yeah. We work with them a lot. So, and we know them. So that's the hard part. We look at someone like them and it's like, man, is it better to be this producer group or is it better? Are they working with you?
No, I haven't heard back from them because they were working with someone.
Gotcha. Okay.
That they seem to be very happy. I was hoping that they may call back and say, hey, let me give this guy, you know, a shot, but, I don't know where they stand. And I haven't put another phone call into them. I thought I'd let them digest it and see, if they wanted to take me on.
I'll ask how it went. See what he says. Just
See, you know what? If you just say, hey, okay, Curtis, Supernova, yeah, I think I kind of get everything that he's doing. But you all know from experience that it's the, when you peel back the onion, you get so much more.
Yep. So I do think the client service associate will help us out a lot in easing a lot of those pain points that we have. And I think me and Mario have definitely kind of tweaked it a little bit more to around us rather than a couple other things that I think just within our firm don't work as well. And I think that's a big change. Hopefully
we could set up an organizational structure, horizontal leadership, and then the vertically integration of other team members. And you can, grow that business. Okay. I really do.
Cause that's my thought is, you know, if we can just maximize our income here, again, it's not like we're not happy. You know, we're happy. It's more like kind of like content, but it's like, you know, sometimes we talk to you or, you know, we're looking at like Advisor Hub and it's like this team went there and this team went there. And I'm like, oh my God, like, you know, so. It's easy to look around.
Well, you know what? This team went there because, you know, these firms are saying, hey, look, I'll give you, 200% of your trailing 12. If you leave your current firm, 200 to 300% of a trailing 12. So you get a team doing, $4 million.
Yeah.
And, look what they're going to give them to come over.
Yeah.
You know,
it's crazy.
It'll be a 5 or 7 year deal, but you know, at 300%, I mean, that's like 12 million.
Yeah.
With some of it back then.
Yeah.
So it's pretty powerful stuff, guys.
We agree. Well, appreciate it. I think the business plan will work well. And, that's it for me. I don't know if Mario has anything else or.
Okay. Anything else, Mario?
I think I'm good.
All right. You guys, came right out of the blocks and hit me with, some good stuff.
Thank you.
Anything I can do to help you, let me know. I look forward to our next call.
Thank you.
All righty. Take care. Bye-bye.